The first reading may be found on page 1095 in your pew Bibles. And it is taken from Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 19. And it's about Peter speaks to the onlookers. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord."
This second reading can be found on page 1226 in the Bibles, and it's 1 John 3, verses 1 to 7. "Children of God, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." This is the word of the Lord.
Audrey Leon, lovely, clear, lovely pace. Thank you. Andrew. Father God, we pray for Andrew's prep in your word, and we ask that his words will not only challenge us, but encourage us. Amen.
Some of you might know that Joy likes to go for a coffee at a tea room most days, if at all possible. And there have been many occasions, I don't know about you're like me, but I've sat in somewhere like Poplar or Marks and Spencer's, and I look around and I can see there are two sisters having a cup of tea or coffee over there. And over that side, you can tell there's a mother and daughter. Because the reality is that family traits and characteristics come down, the shape of the face, the stature, colour of eyes, whatever, there are similarities. And whether we like it or not, our children inherit a lot from us. I don't know if you've noticed, the medical profession often now ask about our family's medical history, whether we've had, you know, heart disease in the family, diabetes, or whatever else. And because our genes help determine our physical and mental illnesses. And sometimes they can also have an impact on how long we might live. I'm sure that I absorbed quite a lot of my parents' characteristics, their traits, their values, their ethics, by spending time with them. Likewise, for better or worse, I've been a role model for my children. In our second reading, John opens with the amazing words, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." In an open the book version, wow! How can this be in any human family? Hopefully, the child listens to their father and mother. John, in verse 28 of chapter 2, "Now, dear children, continue in him." Paul has a similar line in Romans 8. "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." And he goes on, "And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." And in Galatians, he wrote, "Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So since you're a son, God has made you also an heir." John in verse 3 wrote, "When he appears, we shall be like him." Some of you may have read or studied about 20 years ago, it's a very popular book by a chap called Rick Warren called Purpose Driven Life. And he said that when we are before Jesus, it's not a matter of imitation, it's a matter of inhabitation, which means that he has lived within us and we within him. In other words, by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, by spending time in prayer, talking, and listening to God, obedience is the key. And prayer is important, and I would really encourage as many of you as possible to again sign up in about a few weeks' time to Thy Kingdom Come, when we have that 24 sessions of 1 hour of prayer, because it's a really time of blessing. One of the problems is, or one of the good things is, the closer we get to God, the more we see the faults in our lives, those little sins that we just sort of hadn't really wanted to see or notice. And, you know, we're being told to just purify ourselves and stop sinning. But sadly, temptations will come away. One easy one to fall into is to worry. Worry. Very easy to worry. You know, I've got this grant application on Tuesday. You're thinking, what happens if they don't approve it? You know, it's just natural worry. Other times you can easily develop pride or envy, or to easily take offence at somebody. But anything is possible if we love God. Now, turning to our first reading from Acts. In the preceding chapter of 2, we read that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost, followed by Peter's great speech that led 3,000 to repent, be baptized, and become believers. The new followers were meeting regularly, and we read, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Teaching and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Quite exciting times. You know, when we read Acts, the first two chapters are just so exhilarating. You think, Wow, I wish our church was as good, as strong as that. In chapter 3, which before the verses before we read, opens with Peter and John going up to the temple at 3 in the afternoon, and they meet a crippled beggar being carried into the temple courts to beg. And he asks Peter and John for money. And Peter looks at him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but I have what I have to give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. That image of that walking and jumping reminds me sometimes when you see animals being let out on fresh pasture for the first time. There's an exhilaration, there's a freshness, there's a beauty about it all. And understandably, the onlookers are astonished and probably in a state of shock. Peter again takes the lead and addresses the crowd saying, "It's not us, it's not us. The power you came from Jesus, the one you disowned and handed over to be killed. You killed the author of life." Pretty strong stuff. Pretty strong stuff. It must have really made them think. But God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. It is Jesus' name and faith that came through him that has given complete healing. But Peter lifts off the pedal a bit. "I know that you and your leaders acted in ignorance," before in verse 19, calling them to repent. The healing of the beggar is a major step in the spreading of the gospel. In chapter 4, we read that the number of believers grew by 2,000 to 5,000, and the testimony they gave before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders' council. And Peter gives his third great statement, which included, "Salvation is found in no one else." Peter and John were very well placed. They had spent 3 years with Jesus, hearing his teaching, seeing at first hand his character, his traits, his personality, his dedication to prayer, his knowledge of the scriptures. They'd been on the mountaintop at the Transfiguration when Jesus' clothes became dazzling white and heard God saying, "This is my son who I love, listen to him." They had seen the crucifixion, met the risen Christ in the upper room and in Galilee, seen the ascension and received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The message for us at this Eastertide is Christ, Jesus has risen. But the second thing is the power and impact of the risen Christ was amazing. Frightened, uneducated fishermen from the outburg were able to address and silence the most powerful leaders of their nation. Large numbers repented and became believers. The world was changed. Thirdly, and the point I want you to take home this morning, is that Jesus is alive in us. Elements of our earthly fathers are alive in you and me. We are children of God, sons and daughters. Whether we realize it or not, we are carrying it around with us. In our demeanor, our smiles, how we use our eyes, how we listen, how we think. What brings us joy? What brings us sorrow? What we do, how much we do, how we love, how much we love, how generous we are, what we spend our money on, what are our passions, what we do with our time. But there is a warning. Spiritual DNA is different from human DNA. Our children can't be grandchildren of God. They have to have their own personal relationship by accepting God as their Father, that Jesus died for their sins and that Jesus is the Lord and ruler of their lives. John Wesley said, "We couldn't be half children of God. We have to adopt the family values and leave those of the world behind." There may be some here who had or even have a parent who was or is tricky, perhaps not kind, not a good role model, not loving, and did or said hurtful things. My prayer is that does not harm or limit your relationship with Jesus, and that you will feel additional blessing from knowing his grace and acceptance. The prayer for all of us is that we are a blessing to those we interact with due to Jesus being alive in us, and it points them to Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
As we leave today, take away that Jesus is alive in us.